World War II. I remember the day, 1939, when it started. At that time, we lived on Solway Street, and the radio was on. And I remember when it came over the air. And we were going down to visit my parents in Aliquippa that day, and I remember how we drove down there so, you know, depressed. And of course all the business with Hitler and the Jews had been going on for some years, and I knew that, you know, my parents would be all upset too, because we still had family in Europe. And all that time, all the news from Europe had been so very depressing for all of us, and we didn't know what had happened, what was happening to them, really. Then, in 1941, my mother died, and I remember. I was back, you know, teaching then, and I remember I used to go up to visit my father. I used to go up there every day because my train came in to Aliquippa very, very early, and I used to take the bus down there at the corner of the station and go up to visit with him and have breakfast with him, and then I went to school because the school was not too far away from his store and apartment. And my mother had died that year before Pearl Harbor Day, and I remember she had just died not too long before that, and I remember that day my father and I were listening to that news, and I remember he said to me, "Well, I'm glad that Mother didn't live to see her dear President Roosevelt involved in this war." Then, you know, as far as the rest of the war was concerned, I don't remember anything that would be different for me than it was for anyone else, except that Sylvan, when he went to get his physical, was not accepted because of his back. I don't remember what his classification was. It wasn't a straight 4F. It was 4F something, which meant that, you know, if things got bad enough, they'd still take him in spite of his bad back. But at the moment they didn't, and they didn't either afterwards. So he was not in the Army.
What about the
Army?
Do you remember much about the Depression, how it affected your life?
The Depression in 1929, you mean? That one? Oh, I remember that very well. For one thing, let's see, I was in my junior year at Pitt, and I had to borrow money to pay my tuition. I borrowed from student loan at Pitt, and I remember I paid that back the very first few, two or three paychecks I had, I paid that back. And I also got a scholarship, one of the Panhellenic scholarships, too, that helped pay my tuition. And things were very, very bad in my father's store because of the Depression. That's what I remember.
Do you remember much about Prohibition?
Yes. I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I should or not, but I guess I will. In Aliquippa, as was true everywhere, there were, of course, bootleggers and speakeasies and what have you. And my father, at that time, I told you, I think, the last time, that he was a paper hanger for a few years. And he used to buy his wallpaper here in Pittsburgh. Peerless Wallpaper was one of the, I guess that was the one where he bought most of the time. Well, he was working on a job one time and ran short. And so he got on the train. You know, it was really, we were really close to Pittsburgh and trains ran frequently. Got on a train in his overalls and came in to get the paper he needed. Came back and the package was wrapped in brown paper. You know how rolls of wallpaper look. And he got off the train and started down from the platform, started down the street, and the police stopped him. Took him to the police station. He didn't come home, and my mother got really worried. I was frightened too. We didn't know what had happened to him. Then came a telephone call. It's my father, Rojo. I'm at the police station. My mother said, "What's the matter? What's the matter? What happened?" They stopped me. They wanted to look in my package. They thought I was carrying bootleg whiskey. Well, my mother tells me, you know, what my father is saying, and you know, me already. I said, "They have no right to do that. They can't just stop him like that and take him to the police station. He could have refused. Why did he let them?" You know, and I was indignant. "I'm going right down there." I'm going right down there and tell them they have no right to do that. My mother said, "He's coming home already. Don't worry about it and don't go." But that's what I remember about Prohibition.
Well, you did tell me about the fact that you were a teacher. Do you remember any special thing with colleagues that would be of interest?
Well, my first teaching job, as I told you, was in Aliquippa. I had grown up there. I'd gone to school there. And many of my fellow teachers had been my schoolmates, too. You know, it was a kind of an inbred thing, I guess. And we had a very fine relationship. And stop it till I think. When I taught in Aliquippa after I was married and lived here, I commuted, and I used to ride the bus from the railroad station down there to my father's house, as I mentioned before. And one morning, the bus driver, who really didn't know me, said something to me about, "I understand that there's some teachers up there." He knew I was a teacher. "Some teachers up there is trying to start a teacher's union. And I heard," he said, "that some agitator from out of town that teaches here is really trying to get things going." And I didn't say anything at all, but he was talking about me. And I said was, "I wouldn't call that agitating, you know." But I really didn't say much of anything. There wasn't much use saying anything to him. And we were trying to get a federation of teachers group going. And I was by no means the ringleader, nor the agitator. But there were had been before that, too, from time to time, things that I get very indignant about it. And I was a hometown girl, and everybody knew everyone else, and the principal lived not very far from our home, from our my father's store. He used to come in the store all the time. He knew my father very well. And he came in one day, and he said to my father, he said, "What's the matter with your daughter, Margaret? Why is she such an agitator?" And all this because I dared to speak up a little bit for the teacher's rights. You asked me about a colleague. just remember one little incident with one of the women. We used to, she and I were very friendly, and I think I mentioned to you last time how everybody was very careful about what he said openly in that town. And but she and I were very friendly, and we did often talk. And I guess, and she seemed not to be in disagreement with some of the liberal thinking that I was expressing. And at one time, though, it was during, well, of course, Roosevelt was president, but I was talking about economic planning and so on and so on. And she burst out one day, and I don't know why, whether she'd been keeping this in all the time, was disagreeing all the time with me, that she burst out, "Well, all I can say is, if you don't like the way this country is and the way it's run, you ought to go somewhere else." In other words, it was another form of, "You don't like it here, go back where you came from." So I learned that I shouldn't even talk to her, although I thought I could. Then a number of my colleagues had been my teachers in high school. And we really had a very good relationship, and I was very happy teaching there.
Did you raise your children the way you were raised, or differently? How was it different?
It was different only, I think, in the sense that the times were different, and that's all. My children did things that I didn't, because I didn't have the opportunity to do them. They had things available to them that I didn't have. But I think basically philosophy behind it all was pretty much the same. I can't say that we treated our children as adults at the very youthful age that my parents treated me as an adult, but still, we really didn't order our children. We always discussed things with them, and we showed them all the options, and they really had to think it through and make their own decisions, which was much the same way that I'd been brought up.
Tell me about your children's marriages.
Franklin married a girl he met at school at Antioch. And
what is her name?
Her name is Sally. And you know her as the treasurer of our Pittsburgh section.
When was he married?
He was married in 1964, August 1964.
Are your other children married?
Well, Robert was married for 2 years and then divorced. No children in that marriage. No children in Franklin's marriage either, I'm sorry to say. Nancy is not married.
Was your home a very religious home? The home, since you're married.
My home?
Since you're married.
No. I'm sorry if that disappoints anybody, but it really wasn't all that religious. We observed all the holidays, and children all went to temple Sabbath school. They are very much aware that they're Jews. Maybe I'm not interpreting religious the same way you are, but what I would call religious, thinking of my upbringing, I would say certainly we weren't religious, in a religious home that way, no.
Were you active
in any... We were a Jewish home, let me put it that way.
Were you active in any religious organization?
No.
Can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh formerly? Can you see much change socially or culturally, environment-wise?
Better stop it. Let me think. I think that today Pittsburgh has certainly grown culturally a great deal since I first moved here. The one thing that I miss that I certainly had when I first came to Pittsburgh, even when I came to school here, was the theater. I think that we've gone backwards. But otherwise, I think culturally we've really grown.
In what way?
Well, I think we have ballet now, we didn't have. We have more, the museum has expanded. We have Heinz Hall, we have the opera, we have civic opera. Just in every one of the, yes, and the symphony is certainly much better than it was. In every way, I really feel, except in theater. And of course, now that we have these terrific commissioners who are cutting all the allotments to the all the cultural things we have, I'm not so sure what's going to happen. But until we got these wonderful commissioners, Mr. Pierce and Mr. James Flaherty, I think we were doing fine.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
Well, I think more than ever that the Jewish community is very well regarded in the general community. I think the status, let's put it that way, of the Jewish community has really grown.
How do you view your own accomplishments over the years, your successes?
I don't know. Really, when you stop to think about them, they're not such a great deal altogether. So what is it, the chairman of this committee and that committee? It's really not such a great deal. It's really, I'm satisfied that I did my best and did my little bit, but really, along the side of the whole picture, it's really just one little thing.
Do you feel you had any failures in the way you have done things?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I did all that I could have done educationally. I really should have done a lot more than I did.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I think I could have made a bigger contribution to education in Pittsburgh than I did. I really do. And considering that this was really my big interest, and the same is true for public affairs, I really think I should have done more in both.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us that I haven't asked you about?
I don't think so. I've told you more than I really meant to or should have anyway.
Thank you very much.